Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How to find inner resolve in times of upheaval. Amid ongoing social, governmental, and climate crises, small values-driven actions can help to keep us afloat. By Elizabeth Svoboda, January 7, 2026. Lately, it feels like the fire hose we've all been drinking from has switched to pumping out bleach. Around the world, autocratic leaders are dismantling democratic norms, threatening opponents, and eroding the rule of law. Online opportunists are sowing chaos and confusion with AI-driven fake content blasts, while habitats and crops are dying off amid even more extreme climate shifts. Witnessing what experts now call the polycrisis, the parallel unfolding of social, digital, and environmental disaster, brings us face to face with our own powerlessness. What we do as individuals or even as small groups of thoughtful, committed citizens is not going to turn things around on its own. In such conditions, standard well-being practices like meditation, journaling, or yoga may not go far enough to restore inner equilibrium. But research suggests an alternate approach, taking small, values-driven actions to strengthen your resolve and sense of agency, even if you're not yet sure exactly what these actions will add up to. When life feels chaotic, acting on our values, even in small ways, can restore a sense of direction, says psychologist and lead researcher Pinnett Russo-Netzer, who heads up the Resilience and Optimal Development Lab at Israel's Akva Academic College. Not because circumstances improve, but because we remember who we are within them. How everyday actions restore agency. Along with the global scale challenges it presents, this historical moment seems to invite inner limbo. The pull of tradition and settled belief systems will never again be what it once was, and once revered leaders and institutions seem to betray our trust continually. That makes us vulnerable in ways unique to this unsettled and unsettling time. We have cast adrift what injuries and no longer serve us, what injures and no longer serves us, but we may not yet know what to replace it with. As a resilience specialist, Russo-Netzer wants to see if deliberate values-based action could help to fill this meaning vacuum. Though past research showed that people tend to deal better with threats or tough circumstances when they call personal values to mind, Russo-Netzer wondered if this contemplation might be more potent when people acted in ways that backed it up. So she challenged her colleague, psychologist Ofer Attad, and decided to study whether the rewards of values-based behavior shifts justified the effort that they took to make. We asked, what happens when people move from reflection to intentional action? To map this transition, Russo, Netzer, and Attad recruited more than 450 adults on an online survey platform and divided them into three groups. They asked participants in the first group to reflect on their values, choose a concrete action in line with those values, and carry out that action. One participant, for instance, reflected on how important it was to them to nurture their central relationships, resolved to spend more time with their family members, and followed through on that intention. Another reflected on the desire to fulfill their highest goals and opted to spend less time on Instagram and more time pursuing those goals. Members of the study's second group reflected on a valued aspect of their life, but did not carry out any action. And members of an inactive control group neither reflected nor acted on their values. Unsurprisingly, compared to those who did nothing at all, people who took a values-driven action reported stronger well-being and fewer anxious and depressive symptoms. Most intriguing, though, was the difference between the affirmation group, those who only reflected on their values, and the action group. 1 week after the values exercise, members of the latter group reported greater increases in well-being and a stronger sense of meaning in life, showing that directed action offered more powerful psychological boosts. Russo Netzer suspects that's because acting turns abstract feeling ideals into lived experience, allowing people to prove to themselves that they actually are becoming who they wish to be. Small actions anchored in personal values can restore a sense of agency in the moments when people feel most powerless, Russo Netzer says. They help us to stay connected to who we are, what matters to us, and what we can still choose. Experimental group members also reported higher levels of what researchers call self-insight, suggesting not only can values-driven action restore your agency, it helps give you the knowledge and perspective that you need to make thoughtful future choices. Developing an action practice. The well-being advantage that action supplies is crucial in the face of grim global realities, says Boston-based psychologist Jana Cortez, who specializes in decision-making under stress. In times of disarray, people often feel really out of control, she says. But when people begin taking daily problem-solving action, they're then learning, oh, I do control a little bit more. I feel more grounded. Things aren't just happening to me. Psychiatrist Viktor Frankl famously reported that a similar inner shift, getting through confinement at Auschwitz by resolving to choose his own way in the midst of any circumstance. Yet reaping those well-being benefits takes sustained, effortful commitment. Changing your behavior, Russo Netzer says, requires surmounting what experts call an activation barrier, overcoming the natural human impulse to stick to the status quo. To take an action like going to a civic protest or a weekend volunteer program, You have to give up the ease of inertia as well as some of your free time. To get more comfortable resisting inertia, you can try a version of the exercise Russo Netzer designed for her study participants. First, identify what your core values are in key areas of your life. Do you feel strongly about connecting members of your community, working on innovations that benefit people, or creating opportunities for kids and teens at risk? Next, choose a specific action that lines up with one of the core values you identified. If caring for the vulnerable means a lot to you, you can sign up to stand with an immigrant in court or volunteer to get food and supplies for families under threat. If you value showing up for close loved ones, you can schedule time to call someone you haven't talked to in a while and actually follow up on that intention. Zeno Franco, a psychologist and researcher at the Medical College of Wisconsin, has seen the real-world dividends such practices can yield. When leading support groups for veterans, many of whom struggle to resume normal life after surviving in war zones, Franco engages group members in discussions of how they can act in ways that express their values. In one-on-one therapy, he takes a similar, more personalized approach. In both cases, Franco's goal is to convince people to take on a very small task that goes to the core of the value that has been somehow damaged by decisions or just by life, he says. Writing a note of apology to someone they've hurt or engaging in dialogue with someone whose worldview contradicts theirs. Through tasks like this, people arrive at an inner resolve that looks like flexible steadiness, Franco says. Being steady day in and day out as the tides of the times rise and fall. Values-based actions don't have to be grand gestures to instill this steadiness and resolve. The mechanism is not about the magnitude of the action, Russo Netzer says. What matters is that the action serves as a self-signal, a tangible reminder that I am showing up as the person I aspire to be. How small daily actions take on momentum. When you approach this practice in an exploratory, iterative way, it can yield surprising results over time that you couldn't have foreseen at the outset. With each step you take, not only do you get more comfortable with acting, you get valuable feedback that guides your next move. With these small steps, they're really easy, Cortez says, and then you have an anchor to make other choices. In addition, your actions in specific moments can give rise to new changes for effective intervention. By showing up for a single community meeting or volunteer outing, you may learn about other opportunities you wouldn't have encountered otherwise, broadening the range of future actions available to you. As your skill and confidence grows, you can carry out ever more meaningful actions, which in turn build your confidence still more, a virtuous cycle that takes on its own momentum, diminishing deep-rooted feelings of powerlessness. It is the combination of awareness, affirmation, and action that creates a positive feedback loop, Russo Netzer says. The more we act in line with our values, the more we feel like our life makes sense and the more motivated we are to continue. About the author, Elizabeth Svoboda is the author of What Makes a Hero? The Surprising Science of Selflessness. Her upcoming book, The Art of Pacing, is about setting a sustainable pace in a speed-obsessed world. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. The Hidden Power of Mattering to Others and to Yourself. A new book explains the importance of feeling valued and seeing the impact of your actions by Jennifer Brainy Wallace and Catherine Reynolds Lewis, January 12, 2026. When life feels rough, our instinct may be to retreat and withdraw from the world. But reaching out and helping others can make our lives more full by increasing our sense of significance and highlighting the impact that others have on us. We are living through a social health crisis, a profound breakdown of the relationships that once protected us, writes journalist Jennifer Brahe Wallace in her new book, Mattering, The Secret to a Life of Deep Connection and Purpose. She continues, "We've lost track of our most basic human needs for connection and contribution. Now, we often feel tempted to fill that void with counterfeit forms of mattering, chasing attention over connection, prestige over purpose, and money over meaning. The rise in loneliness, burnout, and anxiety is the predictable consequence of a society that has forgotten how to make people feel valued." I spoke with Jennifer about the research on mattering, her book's conclusions, and tactics for increasing our sense of mattering. Here is an edited transcript of our conversation. Catherine Reynolds Lewis. Let's start with the big question. What is mattering and why is it so crucial right now? Jennifer Brahe Wallace. Mattering is a universal human need that all of us have to feel valued for who we are deep inside, and to have an opportunity to add value to the world around us, to our families, friends, colleagues, and communities. That is a need that is going unmet today in too many people. Young people feel a sense of meaningless and purposelessness in their lives. Retirees who once felt depended on no longer feel relied on anymore in any meaningful way. They feel adrift. When people don't feel like they matter, when they don't feel valued or know how they add value, they can turn against themselves, become anxious, depressed, turn to substances to try to alleviate the pain, or lash out in anger. We're seeing that, I think, in a lot of the political discourse today, road rage, and people who go online and attack people. What is great about mattering is that it's actionable. There are steps we can take in our everyday lives to build back that sense of mattering and thrive. As a society, we are confronted with too much input every day and too much output being demanded of us. In order for us to get through our days, we are often just going on autopilot. Catherine Reynolds Lewis. In the book, you talk about how some people matter too much, but find it draining rather than sustaining. Can you explain? Jennifer Brainy Wallace. This is caregivers, teachers, and people on the front lines that our society relies on too much. While being relied on in this way can feel meaningful and give purpose to our lives, when we feel like we're never prioritized, that's when we burn out. There are a few ways we can start to prioritize ourselves again. The first step is learning how to matter to ourselves, learning how to prioritize ourselves every day, not when the to-do list is done, not when everybody else's needs have been met. I'm not saying this is easy, but it is a practice that I have adopted now over the last 2 years. When I wake up in the morning and I'm brushing my teeth, I say to myself, what is one small need that I must fill today for myself so that I can show up as my best self? For me, it's often waking up early before everybody else is up to enjoy my coffee, to think, to read, to do things that are not fitting into other people's agendas. All the self-care in the world will not give us the resilience that deep, nourishing relationships will give us. The second step to mattering to yourself and not mattering too much is to find people in your life, 1, 2, 3 people who know you, who you can rely on and open up to, and who will remind you of your mattering. Especially in those moments when you're questioning, when you're going through a rough transition or life feels hard, it's leaning on those friendships that will restore your sense of mattering. Often, the burden of mattering too much comes when we don't feel like we can ask for help. When I don't ask for help, not only do I deny myself the support I need and deserve, I also deny my friend the chance of being a helper, of knowing I can rely on her for her wisdom, letting her know how much she matters to me, how valued she is, and how much value she adds. So instead of thinking about asking for help as a sign of weakness, look at it as a sign of strength. It is an act of generosity to give that sense of mattering to someone else. In conversation for this book, I heard over and over again from people that they had friends, but their relationships, their friendships, had hollowed out because of so many demands on them through work, through parenting. There's research out of the Mayo Clinic that's since been replicated about how to build these types of nourishing relationships. We don't need hours of together time. We don't need mom's night out 4 nights a week. What we need is to find people in our life that we can be vulnerable with and who will be vulnerable, so it's reciprocal, and to prioritize those relationships at least for 1 hour a week, which is completely doable. Figure out a way to build that sort of networks of support for yourself. One thing that's been really helpful for me, about a year and a half ago, two women that I was friendly with but not super close to started a club for very busy professional women aiming to read one article a month. So once a month, we carve out this time, we sit in each other's kitchens. What's amazing about it is that I didn't even know these people, but we created this kind of scaffolding for deeper friendship. And again, this book is titled Mattering, The Secret to Life of Deep Connection and Purpose by Jennifer Brainy Wallace. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona next.